You were made to be brave. You were born to make a difference. God designed you for heart-pumping, joy-filled adventure. And we're here to guide you to that adventurous life. Crossroads Church.
Hi, my name is Brian Tome. I'm the founding and senior pastor at Crossroads. I had to give my full title and the things that I do because some of you don't recognize me. Yeah, I've got a little this going on, a little scruffage going on, a little beard starter kit. You're going, what? Why is that? That looks, I know, I'm going to get to it in just a little bit. I'll talk about that later. But I also want to talk about why it is you haven't seen me for a few weeks, because here at Crossroads, we believe that the voice of God comes through more than just one person. We believe that we need to hear diverse people in diverse perspectives to get a full understanding of who God is. That's why I willfully and willingly give up teaching time for other people to do it who do just great job. Chuck has done great. Kyle's done great. And what's going on today is going to be really, really cool as well. And we want to connect with you. We know that there are so many things that are uncertain in our times. You know, if you're struggling, you want to talk with somebody, or just you got nothing better to do, you want to hang out and find somebody to laugh with, we could do that with you too. Go to crossroads.net and we will interact with you and pray for you or meet any needs that we can. Well, today we start a new series called Anchored. It's on the historic beliefs of the Christian faith. What is it that actually makes the Christian faith? We initially were going to call this series Creed, but we don't want to be confusing, because some of you go, Creed, can you take me higher? Remember that, Scott Sapp, Creed, get it? Or Michael B. Jordan, watch it. I'm telling you, watch the Creed series. It is amazing. But the real Creed, the original Creed, was the Apostles' Creed. It was this assimilation of core beliefs, of non-negotiables that the early followers of Christ just saw. If you're going to be a follower of Christ, if you're to be a Christian, this is what it is. This is what it means. And we're going to cover those things during this series. Why is that? Because we live in turbulent times. Because there are unusual, abnormal, freaky, unexpected things that are happening all around us right now. And it's not just what's been happening over the past 9 weeks. Can you believe it's that long? 9 freaking weeks. It's not just the last 9 weeks. It's what happens in the future. What's unemployment going to net out at? Is there going to be an economic recovery? Will I ever be able to do this again? There is so much uncertainty that in times of uncertainty, with all the waves that are happening, we need to be anchored. We need to know what it is we're rooted in. We need to know what is our source of life. What is our source of reality? What is our source, our filter for understanding all the things that are happening with us? Jesus is the greatest source. He's the greatest filter. He's the greatest anchor that anyone has ever known and that you can ever know. He is time-tested. He is weighty. But there's a way to understand him and to understand the God of the Bible. And that's what we're talking about in this series. It's called Anchored. Let's get started.
In Ephesians 4:14, it says this, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. I'm Chuck Mingo, one of the teaching pastors at Crossroads. And for the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about what does it mean to be anchored. And we're going to do that by looking at the Apostles' Creed. You know, in the second and third centuries, followers of Jesus recognized there's a lot of confusing beliefs about who God is, who Jesus is, and they knew that a false faith wouldn't help anybody in a time of trouble. And so they put together a summation of the core fundamental teachings of Scripture about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit, so that every follower of Jesus, not just in their day, but in our day, could have an anchor. Behind me is Old St. George's Church. This is a church that actually some years ago burned down and it almost was destroyed forever. It's been a great revival story to see this building once again be a church. And the reason is because it was built on a firm foundation.
In the second and third century, just like today, There were a lot of opinions on what it meant to believe in Jesus. His followers knew this was a problem, so they worked together to write formal statements about what those non-negotiable beliefs were. They called those statements creeds, and one of the most well-known and enduring is the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For 1700 years, these are the truths that Christians have anchored themselves to.
And today, I want to talk about the anchor within the anchor, the first sentence of the creed, which says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Now, if you claim to be a Christian, you're like, yeah, of course I believe that about God. Hey, not so fast. I want to challenge you that you can be a Christian in name only and actually not believe in the God of the Bible. I once heard it said, you can't outlive your beliefs. What that means is no matter what you say you believe, how you live your life is what determines what you actually believe. So many of us are being misled and we don't even know it. We're being misled by two very accepted and yet very wrong views of this God, creator, maker of heaven and earth. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you what those two are because I don't want you to fall into either of them. There's a belief system that many people, even those who call themselves Christians, have fallen into for years. And it actually leads to utter hopelessness. I'm going to call it Jediism. I'm standing in the bell tower of Old St. George. And just being here, I'm reminded of how big God is as I overlook the city. In fact, the only reason this bell tower is still here is because of the firm foundation of this building. You can see behind me where this was impacted in the fire, but it stands today because the foundation was firm. Yet as I look out over the city, I'm reminded that there are many people who would not stand in a fire. And that's because their foundation is really no foundation at all. The scientific term for this dangerous belief system is pantheism. But I call it Jediism, like I said, because it's a belief that God is more of a general force than an actual person, a being, a personality that wants relationship with you and with me. And you might be a pantheist if you don't believe there's real evil in the world, but you just think it's all shades of gray. You might be a pantheist if you believe that all religions basically follow the same God. They just give that God different names. You might be a pantheist if you listen to the universe to speak to you, or you think that fate is guiding your life. Or you might be a pantheist if you believe that God is everywhere and God is in everything. See, I call it Jediism because, let me be clear, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I love Star Wars. In fact, Disney Plus, please accelerate the release of season 2 of Mandalorian. My family and I can't wait. What a great way to spend our summer. I mean, I'm a big Star Wars fan. And in the world of fiction, it's neat to think about a general force that's kind of out there. But in my nonfiction life, I want a God who is right here. I want a God who is present in my life. I don't want a force. I want a relationship with a being who can know me and who can love me. So why is pantheism so popular then? I mean, isn't it common to hear people talk about New Age spirituality or healing crystals or all these kinds of things? Yes, very popular. And you know why? Because with pantheism, I can say God is in me or God is around me, and therefore I get to determine truth so you can't question me. But wait, can we just pause and tell the truth? If you and I get to be the ultimate arbiters on what's right and wrong in the world, this world is in big trouble. That's why the creed summarizes this core belief that I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. God is a person, and he's a powerful person, and he is the creator of everything. There's another dangerous belief system that many Americans fall into. Actually, 15 years ago, sociologists studied American teenagers. So these are people who are now 30 years old, they're adults, to try to describe what they really believe in terms of their spiritual faith. And they actually came up with a term for it, moralistic therapeutic deism, which basically teaches that God gave us moral demands early, you know, in the Bible, but religion is basically there to make us feel better about ourselves, and God is not involved in our everyday lives. And again, I know you're like, oh, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's true, but it's not what you say. It's how you live your life. So you might be a deist. You might be a deist if you only allow God to have an advisory role in your life. And you're really not into total surrender, which is actually what God asks for. You might be a deist if you pray on occasion, but when nothing happens from your prayers, you assume that prayer doesn't work. Or you may be a deist if when there's pain in life and things get hard, you actually accuse God and blame Him for not being present to take away your pain. I have to confess that last one really convicts me. I have to confess my own MTD. You know, nothing reveals what you really believe about God like difficulty and suffering. And I would love to say that in the midst of the quarantine, with the challenges that I face relationally and other challenges in my life, that I've just been a strong Christian leader through it all. You know, always thankful. God is good all the time. That is not true. I've had moments of failure, I've had moments of weakness, and I've had this through line of blaming God, of even accusing God. And you know what? I've had to repent and just say, God, I'm not understanding who you are. I'm not operating in the belief of who you really are. You don't tell me that I'm gonna have a life free of suffering, but you do promise to be with me in the middle of it. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you can relate to the challenges of believing that God is with you when things are painful and when things are tough. But I have to ask myself, why do I fall prey to this? You know why? Because again, deism is a great belief system in our modern sensibility, because deism basically says, all right, if God's not in control, then I get to be in control. Are you seeing the through line here? Whether it's pantheism or deism, it always boils down to who's going to be in control of your life. So we could say that deism is really meism. And that's why the words of the Creed are so grounding. They anchor us in a deeper truth that God is the creator of heaven and earth, that He's above us, that He's in control, even of our lives. Psalm 27:10 says this, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I know for some of us, fathers and mothers forsaking us is a part of our story. It's a painful part of our story. Maybe the father who wasn't present, maybe the mother who walked away. Whatever it is, all of us eventually will be forsaken by our parents. I'm really thankful that I had 44 years to enjoy a relationship with my dad. But you know what? My dad passed away last year, and I've been forsaken in that way. My father, my earthly father, is no longer present to meet the needs of an earthly father. We will all be forsaken by our parents at some point because our parents are finite and their lives will end, but God is infinite. And God is still creating things. Or I should say this, not only is He creating things, but He is recreating things. Look at this building. I am standing on the balcony of Old St. George Church. This is a church that for 25 years was not a church. This is a church that some 5 years ago had its steeples burned in a fire and people thought this building is done. But I am standing in what is a recreated space where before the quarantine, every weekend, there were thousands of people who experienced God here, who got to connect with God in this way. And you know what? I believe it will be used for that purpose once again. This building is a visible and physical reminder that our God is not done, that our God is still in the business of taking the rubble of lives and rebuilding them. Our God is still in the business of healing and saving and delivering. In fact, it actually tells us this, where it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I love that. This work of salvation, the work that Jesus came to do in you and in me, of taking my broken soul that was separated from God and reuniting it to Him through grace, that work is an ongoing work. It doesn't say that I just was saved, but it says I am being saved. Right now, I'm being saved. Right now, I'm being renewed. Right now, God is birthing new life in me, and He's doing that in everyone who follows Him. 1 John 4:16 says this, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." Do you know God loves you? Do you know how much God loves you? And do you believe it? I mean, like in your bones, believe it. Like right now, things might not be going well, but you are not abandoned, believe it. I mean, like right now, knowing that that thing that you think can never be redeemed, that God is in the process of redeeming it, believe it. Do you believe that? Because if you do, that will anchor your life and you will be able to rise up again.
God as creator is really a powerful thing to say about God, because being creation is powerful. There's something you get to know about God when you get into a vast, wide open space. Ooh, I hear a Dixie Chick song. I got the scruff on me because I just got back from an overlanding trip with some friends. We camped the whole time, camped in 6 states. And when I get outside of my normal surroundings, like here on my front porch, when I get outside and see things, I see God, I experience God. This is just one of the things that I said when I got off on the side of the road, they stuck an iPhone in my face that might mean something to you right now.
Been out in God's beautiful creation. And I just keep thinking of the beginning of that creed, God the Father, Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. Some people just get too upset about, how did God create this? How long did God take to create it? What was the whole problem? All that's fine. The truth is, something created all of this. There is a design, a beauty, where God is both an engineer and an artist, and you can't help but be in a place like this and feel closer to the heart of God and more bewildered by His wonder.
Well, just as God is creator, we want to be like Him. That means that we get to be in the creation process or the recreation process, because there are broken things all over our world. And one of the ways that we engage the church is we step into the void, and our generosity helps to fuel that. If you're a generous person, or if you're a tither, giving back 10% of the first 10% of whatever God blesses you with to your home church, you can go to crossroads.net, or you can text crossroads at 313131 as we put those resources to work, as we try to be about the work of recreating this world that God loves so very, very much. So let's take a look at some of the things that we're doing, because your generosity has been utterly astounding. Tens of thousands of pounds of food have gone to hurting and hungry people right in our communities during this time. Let's take a look at what that looks like.
Hey, I'm Tim Seneff, and I'm the Mason Community Pastor here at Crossroads, and we're having a food drive this morning. And we got the word out, sent the bat signal out over social media and email just a few days ago, and it's incredible to see people who are driving in, dropping off food with just a few days' notice. And during a time when people are locking down, when people are isolating, we're saying, let's go be the church. Let's go be a blessing, and let's surround our community with love.
When you root out false beliefs about God and replace them, anchor your life in the kind of truths that the creed talks about, your faith will stand the test of time. Just like stained glass is an art form that has stood the test of time, I'm at Classical Stained Glass Studios. And the artist Terry told us something interesting about this art form that's existed for thousands of years, just like the creeds have existed for thousands of years. He said, stained glass is one of the few works of art that you will buy that will actually outlive you. These creeds, these timeless truths, they will outlive us, but for our lives, they become anchors that can hold in a storm. Hebrews 6:19 says this, We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. What is that talking about? That curtain is actually a reference to the Old Testament temple where God lived, his presence lived behind a curtain in what was called the most holy place. And no one was allowed to go there to be in the presence of God. But what this verse is saying is there is a way God has made for you and I to get behind the curtain and to experience intimate relationship with God himself. You can be anchored in him. And thank God he exists. The Creed puts it this way: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Because think about it, if God could be anything, wouldn't you want God to be personal? Wouldn't you want him to be a God who actually cares about you, not a generic force out there in the universe somewhere, but a God who is a person, a being that you can have a relationship with? And wouldn't you want him to be powerful? Wouldn't you want to know that he has the power to change things, to make things happen? And wouldn't you want to know that he is present, that he is available in your right here, right now life? Because if you had a God like that, and I want to submit to you that that is exactly who God is, having a God like that, it gives you hope in hopeless times. It means that in the midst of your life in upheaval, you don't have to lose hope. You can be anchored to something firm. It also roots you, it anchors you in purpose. Your life has meaning if that's the God who created you. And for you and I, it anchors us in an identity. Because I know now that the shape of my life is meant to look like the shape of my God. It's meant to look like him in love. It's meant to look like him in mercy. It's meant to look like him in justice. It's meant to look like him in truth, in creativity, in beauty, in caring about people, in growing. That's what it means to be rooted in this kind of God. You know, I used to read that verse in Hebrews and think that it meant that God was the anchor, but that's actually not what it's saying at all. It's saying that hope in God is the anchor. Having confidence in God is the anchor. You know why Old St. George is still standing and still a church? It's because the foundation is anchored in rock, immovable rock. You know why an anchor is able to keep a boat solid in the middle of the storm at sea? It's because it gets a chance to go down to the bed of the ocean and grip itself, root itself to the solid ground that is the ocean floor. And that's exactly what God is for you and I. God is not the anchor, but God is the solid ground in which we can grip our anchor, we can grip our hope, and it can sustain our lives. Are you anchored? Are you anchored in God? If you're not, you can be. He's made a way for you to be anchored in him. In fact, the next line of the Creed says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I don't have time to go into that today. That's for next time. But I will say this. If you want to be anchored in God, then you've got to do the hard work. In fact, if you are a Christian, if you are a person who follows Jesus, I want to challenge you to do this work, because I think we can forget and we can get off in different beliefs that are not the core. They're not the anchor that we first came to God with. And so I want to challenge all of you, no matter where you are in the spiritual spectrum, to consider where you're placing your hope. What are you anchoring your life to? Is it this personal, powerful, and present God, or is it a general force? Or are you buying into the lie of moralistic, therapeutic deism and thinking that God is not involved in your everyday life and ultimately religion is just here to make you feel better about yourself? I want to challenge you to do the hard work, and where you find those false beliefs, to repent, to change your mind, to turn from that lie to the truth, the life-giving truth, that there is a God who is worth anchoring your life to. Let me pray for us right now. God, I just pray that you would be working like a heart surgeon, that you would be revealing things in our heart that are lies, that are not true, and as you expose them in love, that we would just agree with you, and we would walk away from those lies, and we would live in your truth. I believe that whoever is listening right now is invited into relationship with you. You love them, and you have truth for them and goodness for them. God, I pray that we would receive it. And as a result, our lives would be ready to stand and withstand any storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Singing is one way we can respond to the life-giving truth that God is worthy of anchoring our lives to. These ancient words remind us that God is a personal, powerful, and present hope for all of us.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, heavenly home. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
We've nowhere else to go. We've nowhere else to turn.
That was good stuff today. Hope you agree. It's great being re-grounded or grounded for the first time on exactly who God is. Our God wants us to engage in our world. One of the key things we've done as a church for years and years and years and years has been our one-day serving blitz called Go Local. It's going to be a bit different this year for obvious reasons, but make no mistake about it, we are not retreating inside of our homes. We want to be a blessing to people in our communities. Get ideas as to how to serve. Go to crossroads.net/go local. Crossroads.net/go local. It's going to be a big, big, important day for our communities. Please do that. Next week, we're going to get back to our series on Anchored. We're going to look at the next line in the Apostles' Creed because we're trying to make sure that no matter how much is swirling around here, we're able to remain stable in the midst of the storm. Not just stable, but also able to thrive. That can happen. That will happen. We'll see you next weekend.